It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you to each and every one of you who are listening. You're each treasured, valued. You have a purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. And thank you to this great team I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday, producer Steve.
I'm so glad. After all the fuss you make on a Monday, After all the fuss you say in the first day of the week, I'm glad you remember to follow through on the last day of the week.
Well, and you know, I actually heard from a listener when we were talking about Fridays and how we both love Fridays. We remember, you know, high school football games and little towns. And she said, I remember that as well. So, yeah, I love Fridays. And I'm excited. It is a Hal Van Herky Friday here. Hal Van Herky, welcome. It's great to have you in the studio.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here. And I didn't know it was a Hal Van Herky Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm even more excited to be here.
Well, you can't miss it on a Hal Van Herky Friday.
Not only that, but as the promo says, there's going to be golden nuggets of wisdom. So
I know. I wish you guys would have told me that part before I got here.
No pressure, huh?
Yeah,
no pressure's
on.
Actually, as I was writing that, I have listeners that reach out. And in fact, the last time you were on, they said that just your candor just has really given them hope. And so that was the impetus for writing this particular promo.
Well, I have been accused of that before.
Okay.
Speaking my mind. I used to work for 2 decades in a very large corporation headquartered on the East Coast. And very frequently I would have people say, well, just tell us what you really think, Hal. You know, it's like, oh my God, you said the truth. This is not good.
Now, wait a minute. I want to follow up there. Are you originally from the East Coast by chance?
No, I'm not.
All
no.
Right. Well, I
was born in the Midwest. I was born in Kansas. My dad worked on the oil fields and he started off as a welder's helper and pounding excess welds off of pipelines with a sledgehammer, worked his way up through the company. But we traveled all over the oil fields wherever they were building oil and gas pipeline. And so I was in Kansas and Nebraska, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Colorado. Yeah.
Well,
so that's where my love for the truth comes from. It's I don't have any of the East Coast nuance.
Well, the only reason I bring it up is when I got out of the military, I went to work for a national company, an airline. And we would sit in meetings, and one of my guys that I really, you know, got along well with, he was also from, New York State, not so much New York City. But we'd sit in meetings, and we'd go through it, and somebody got up one day and said, you know, you guys from the East Coast, you really think a lot of your opinion. So,
yeah, that's me, too. No, that's true, too. Everybody in the big corporation was very opinionated and believed in their opinion as long as it was what their boss's opinion was and what it got them ahead in their career.
So that was that corporate America thing. I've always been in a spot that I've spoken my mind as well. Question, where at in Kansas were you born?
I was born in Kingman, Kansas.
Okay.
Which is outside of Wichita. And I was born so early that they this little hospital, and they didn't have, I was like 4 months early or something ridiculous.
Really?
It was a state record at the time. They just told my mom not to get, packed me up into an ambulance and sent me off to Wichita and told my mom not to get used to me. So that was, that's how I got started. So I was impatient to get things going even back then.
Back then you wanted to get there early, huh?
Yeah.
Because I'm a Kansas girl. And welcome.
There's a lot of great people from Kansas.
There's a lot of great people from Kansas. I love rural America. I just love it for sure. But it's great to have you in studio. Let's go through some of these things that we always like to mention, and that is check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our op-eds, our podcasts, our most recent our upcoming guests, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well, and thank you to all of you who support us. And this was a big week. It was election week. We did a voter's guide, and Hal, you said that that was helpful for you and your wife and your daughter.
Yeah. We sat down when we were filling out our ballots, and, you know, some of the ballot initiatives, usually we sit down and reread the election guide, right? And we look at different things, and usually it's pretty clear what you want to vote on. But some of these ballots were worded so confusingly this time that I'm not sure which one I'm supposed to vote on this one. I'm not even sure which end is up. So then, yeah, we got your voting guide out and looked for this, especially for the state initiatives and everything, mm-hmm. to figure out which one we should vote for. And so we voted along your lines, party lines.
Oh, my party lines. So, well, I was really thrilled that new quote unquote marijuana tax for the children went down, and we worked really hard on that. And we were outspent about 3 million to 1.
Yeah.
But grassroots,
it's crazy.
Grassroots can do it.
There were several elections this year, both state and nationally, where money didn't play a factor for a change. So that's nice to see. Right.
It is. It would be nice to get some money behind our grassroots, though, because I think that we really arrived now. I think that after this last election, I think that not taking the grassroots for seriously is a problem. And the thing about it is grassroots, what I have seen in all the different conversations that I've had is, for example, I have a new friend who, a millennial woman, former Democrat, that she is so fervent to protect this American idea. And I'm just having all kinds of people reach out like that. It is so exciting, Hal.
Yeah, I think it's very exciting. I mean, I think if you want to take away, you know, some positives from this most recent election, it's nice to see something positive for a change. One of my key takeaways was that, locally here in Colorado, clearly some of the, especially at the county levels, some of the counties have really gotten their grassroots game together. They won some really key school board elections. Mm-hmm. I'm in Douglas County. They flipped the board from Democrat to Republican, and that's great because that school board was just getting out of control.
And their disdain for families. I was talking to somebody the other day.
The most inexcusable part is, and this would go for any type of government, especially when you're down at the local level, when you just completely ignore entirely the will of your constituency. And when they're telling you, you know, politely initially, you know, their concerns and what their wishes are, and they take polls and they take surveys and then they just ignore them completely. That's kind of scary. We know better than you do. We know better about your kids than you do. We know better about how to run a school than you do. You know, we know better about health than you do. It was very, you know, like, it was very weird.
Condescending.
Yeah, very condescending. That's a very good word. In authoritarian, condescending, arrogant. And that just doesn't, you're kind of used to that at national political levels, I guess, but when it's the people sitting in your local school board or the county commissioners or whatever, that doesn't sit very well. And that really fired people up when they realized that was the attitude.
Well, and I think actually fired people up across the nation when we saw what happened in Virginia.
Yeah, Loudoun County.
Which is super, super interesting what's going on. So we have a lot of work to do because, Al, I think that we've been busy. We've families building businesses. We've elected people. We think there are representatives to these school boards or these different, county commissioner or mayor, city council. And we've realized now the veil has come off on a whole bunch of different things. And we have a civic duty to be paying attention. I'm so excited about how many different people have stepped forward for school board races or city council. Really exciting stuff is happening here.
Yeah, I think, that's one thing I didn't mention about that school board election in Douglas County is they also had very good candidates that they put forward.
Very good candidates.
Right, and that was across the board. So the Republican Party has done a very good job here locally of recruiting new lifeblood into their candidates and finding really solid people that represent their communities to run. A lot, I think all of them were first time running for anything.
I think so.
So it's... that's what we need, more of. But, back to your previous point about, we kind of just have to keep making sure that they don't, you know, the veil is off, and we need to make, I think what we need to really make sure now, between now and next year when the major elections cycle is, we need to make sure that they don't, not to let them put the veil back on.
Good point.
I think that they realize that they stepped way too far to the left. They got that, you know, behind the scenes, they aren't saying any of that publicly today, but behind the scenes, they got to be knowing through polling and through the election results that, you know, some of these very far left actions that the Biden administration has been taking, some of the things that they've been advocating for, that's the American public is not ready to go there, doesn't want to go there, doesn't support it. And I think there's going to be a big push in the Democratic Party to rebrand themselves as much more moderate and more the, back to the, the party of the working class, et cetera, try to put some of this.
I don't know how they can put that genie back in the bottle.
I don't know how they can, but they're going to be trying
But they're going to try.
And I think that we just have to say, we just constantly have to remind people when they were at their most arrogant and when they thought they owned the world, you know, what they were doing. And that just, it's only 12 months from now. Let's not let everybody forget, you know, the craziness they were trying to pull when they thought they ran the world. And we need to remind people as we get into these significant election cycle next year that, you know, they're trying to put the veil back on, but we got to remember who they really are.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we do this show, is we search for truth and clarity, look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And so that's really important. Let's talk just a little bit about Castlegate Knife and Tool. You sponsor both the shows, and you and your wife, Linnea, are true entrepreneurs. And the show this week for America's Veteran Stories is Rick McFadden, who is a Marine veteran. We're going to be talking about the history of the Marines, because November 10th is the Marine Corps birthday, and November 11th is Veterans Day, and you are a veteran.
Yes, veteran. I was a lightweight veteran. I was in the Colorado Army National Guard and then the Colorado Air National Guard. So I served during the most peaceful time in American history.
That's a good thing.
It was kind of like always practicing but never getting to go into the game. Mixed blessing, I guess, in some ways.
True.
But, we very much support veterans, especially the this most recent generation of veterans that fought in the global war on terror and spent a lot of time in Iraq and Afghanistan. And really, I know a lot of people that, you know, were just the opposite of my experience, that were, you know, going downrange, going into tours of duty nonstop, cycling in, you know, nonstop, especially a lot of the special operations community, et cetera. So we try to do everything we can do to support veterans. We give veterans a discount every day on everything we sell in the store. We also give them a discount online. And then we also support a number of veterans' causes. We support National Honor Tour, which makes sure that there's a live bugler at every gravesite during any memorial ceremony, so that they don't have to have a recorded taps being played at their funeral. We support
Memorial Day.
Yeah,
you played how many times?
I think I played 160 sometimes, but then our senior bugler played 250 sometimes, which
it's amazing.
I've never had to go home and ice my face before, but I ice my face, rolling my face out with a tennis ball, just like all the athletes do for their muscles between games, and I'm like, this is pretty funny. But
that's awesome. But so veterans do get a discount on a regular basis, and I know you guys, and it's not just veterans, it's military and first responders.
And first responders, yes.
Right. Okay. Well, we're going to go to break here in just a minute. A couple of other things I wanted. Well, you know what? We'll do our quote for the day when we come back. But another show sponsor, and that is Kimberly Bell. She's the owner of Kunjani Coffee, and they are in need of two baristas. And they are located on the northwest corner of Jordan Road and Lincoln out in Parker. And you can drop off a resume, or you can send your resume to Kim at KunjaniCoffee.com. That's KunjaniCoffee.com. Again, they're looking for a couple of baristas, and let them know if that's something that you might want to do. So we're going to go to break. In studio with me, as we mentioned, it is a Hal Van Herkey Friday. It's Hal Van Herkey. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support our show. We greatly appreciate it. In studio with me is Hal Van Herke. He and his wife, Linnea, are the owners of Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right out in Sedalia, Colorado. Christmas is coming up, and a great place to do your shopping is Castlegate Knife and Tool, whether or not you're shopping for a chef, for a sportsman, a collector. You've got all kinds of things out there.
Yeah, we have all kinds of things, and we're as stocked up as we've ever been right now.
I mean, okay.
I've spent an enormous amount of money on knives
inventory.
And inventory to bring stuff in, and some of our top brands like Microtech and Benchmade and our kitchen knife selection. We still have a bunch of kitchen stuff coming in, getting ready for the holidays. So by the time it gets around to Thanksgiving and to Black Friday and Small Business Weekend and Cyber Monday and all the different things we've come up with now, we will have an enormous selection of anything from $20 knives that are great for stocking stuffers all the way up to that, unicorn knife that somebody you care about has been looking for a long time. You know, we have that. Anyway, I think we have knives in the store right now from $20 to $3,500.
Okay.
And because we have some very nice bejeweled and, collectible items and things like that and historic items. But yeah, we've really been expanding our kitchen section as well with local knife makers, local artists. We have some amazing handcrafted wood cutting boards and cheese boards that are made here locally that are just gorgeous.
Okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
We're really expanding that. We're getting ready to open up a little pop-up store in Castle Rock at the Mercantile there, which is a shop for, it's like one of these craft and hobby shops. It's the third one in downtown Castle Rock, so we're opening up a pop-up shop there inside a store, focusing on our kitchen items as well as a bunch of interesting things from local blacksmiths and stuff like that. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're having fun with it, and it's going to be a great holiday season for us. We've never been more prepared with the right items in the store at the right time. We spent all year getting to this point, so we're looking forward to it. And I would encourage everybody to remember that this is the time of the year that really makes a difference for small businesses,
right?
Especially retailers. It's not uncommon for small retailers to make all of their profit in the next 3 months and lose money the rest of the year.
Right.
That's
why they call it Black Friday.
Yeah.
Is that's when finally small businesses are moving into the black.
Yeah. And it's not uncommon at all. Going back to my days as a CPA and doing books and everything and seeing all these different businesses from very small mom and pop shops up to large retailers, that they lose money 10 months out of the year, and they make it all in 2 months. So the key there is, if you want to support small business, remember to save some money aside to go shopping for small business at small business. Do your shopping early. Another reminder is that things that are made in the U.S. don't get stuck offshore in container ships. So those items are in stock, so you can get the Made in America stuff. It's still right here.
What a wonderful idea. I like that.
So yeah, we're ready to go already.
I like that. Preparation is key. So that's castlegate.com, castlegate.com for more information on that. Hal, I wanted to move over. As you know, our goal on the show is to search for truth and clarity and look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. But I wanted to go to George Washington for our quote at the beginning of the show. He was our general during the Revolutionary War, our first president. And he said this, and I think a part of that is because I was thinking about our 1776 moment. Is that where we're at right now? He said, "Let us therefore rely on the goodness of the cause and the aid of the Supreme Being in whose hands victory is to animate and encourage us to great and noble actions." I thought you might like that.
Yeah, I definitely like that. So I think we need to look for inspiration, and I've always believed that, I think this is a religious belief, but I always believe you're born for a reason. You know, everybody's born for a reason.
I agree. We have a purpose.
We have a purpose, and I think you need to find that purpose. And if you're having trouble finding that purpose, you can, you know, oftentimes find it through prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's a great quote.
Okay, and I'm going to throw this over to producer Steve. One more time, I'm going to give it to you. Let us therefore rely on the goodness of the cause and the aid of the supreme being in whose hands victory is to animate and encourage us to great and noble actions.
Obviously, in his era, that he was the commanding general, Revolutionary Army, Ben Martin could give us countless. He could keep us tied down all day, telling us about those battles where that was very true. My first thought went to 90 years later during the Civil War, but it is true. No matter which one which conflict you're focusing on, it is true.
And I think about, we are in a conflict now as well. America is divided. I do believe that people are waking up. We saw this with these different races this last election cycle. People are realizing we can't just be on autopilot on these school board races. And you mentioned that there was success in Douglas County with the four candidates there. I got to remember their names, congratulate them. It was, Mike Peterson, Kaylee Weiniger, Becky Myers, and Christy Williams. And again, exciting candidates. And if we have people that have been in these offices for a long time, whether or not it's city council or mayor, if they've been in office a long time, that wasn't the way it was ever supposed to be. It's supposed to be citizen representatives, and we're also not supposed to have a whole bunch of paid, unaccountable bureaucrats either, Hal Van Herkey.
Right. And that was one of the things I noticed about that slate of candidates is they just struck you as people who volunteered because they cared. Mm-hmm. Right. I almost wanted to say they almost struck you as people who got roped into it kicking and screaming because they never thought they were going to be in politics, but just had enough.
Yep.
Right. And so and it's not always easy to get people to run for a school board. I mean, I've been around meetings where people are desperately trying to recruit people for some of these local offices. Unless there's somebody's willing to step up, that you get what you get. But in this case, they had good candidates and they were very successful. I want to go back to something you said at the very beginning of the show, is that, you know, this is our 1776 moment. And with that George Washington quote just a minute ago, I think that's the spirit we should be living in right now. I think that we all, every day, should be looking at our lives and the time we live in as our 1776. Freedom is being attacked on a daily basis from all sides, from all kinds of powerful forces on this planet. And any of us who believe in individual freedom, I think we need to wake up every morning and put on our suit of armor and go to battle against people who would subjugate us and would to sell out our freedom for a little bit of safety and things like that. And I think we need to wake up every morning feeling like it's the spirit of 1776 and that this is our moment.
And when you talk about battle, this is, I think, it's a different battle. It's this battle of ideas. And I've said, with the America's Veterans Story show, that started because I had the honor to go to Normandy with a group that accompanied 40-day veterans. This was back in 2016. But how I also feel, so those guys stormed those beaches going into amazing odds. I mean, the Germans are looking down on them with their guns. And what is amazing, by the end of the day, I mean, we lost many, many Americans there and many of the Allies. But by the end of the day, on June 6, 1944, we were on the beach in one day. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, I'm going to get this wrong, but I just saw a little blurb about the oldest surviving, the last surviving officer that hit the beach that day.
Wow.
I think he just turned 100.
I think I saw something like that, too.
Yeah, and they showed his whole board, and he was a career officer. I think it looked like he had eventually risen up to general. Okay. But he just hit 100 years old. But it's the last surviving officer. Of course, in a lot of cases, officers were a few years older than the enlisted on that day, but he was in the very first wave. So he managed to survive the first wave, survive Normandy, survive the battle.
Okay.
Still alive today. You know, what a great treasure.
Okay.
So, yeah. But I think we need to take that same determination and spirit into, you know, when I say battle and put it on your suit of armor, it's not just it's not a physical battle. And I think that's some things some conservatives have made a mistake thinking, oh, we're going to have to wait till it all falls apart and we're going to rebuild it again. It's like, no, you need to go out and fight the boring, mundane battle every day of standing up for what you believe in, correcting people when you think they're wrong, not being afraid, not being shy to speak your mind. If you believe in small business, support small business. If you want to start a small business, start one. If you want to run for office, run. Don't let people tell you you can't. Don't feel like, you know, the battle's over. But it's all the little things that start off in your heart and your mind, and then how you carry on in your life. It's not these big one-time glorious battles that we're fighting one right now that's like more of a fantasy right now. You just have to do the hard, mundane, everyday work of believing in freedom, being a good advocate for freedom and an example of freedom, mm-hmm. and not taking any other point of view for, you know, as the word of, you know, any, you know, not being dictated to.
Right. And with that, I do think that we're in our ideological Normandy. And so when you mentioned this about this particular officer, I thought, I think I've interviewed him, and I have. We did three interviews with him, and it was Major General John Ron. And he was first day Omaha.
First wave.
He wasn't first wave.
Oh, okay.
Because
yeah.
And that's a funny story on that, because I had done the promos that he was first wave of Omaha. And then it was, I think we'd done a couple of interviews, and I remember Steve, this was an amazing moment for me when I realized there is a difference between first wave and first day. And I said, General Ron, I have an apology to make. I said, I have been doing these promos that you were first day and you were first wave, and I'm sorry. And he said to me, you're forgiven. And I thought, that is such powerful words. Instead of, oh, that's okay, he said, you're forgiven. And I remember looking over at Steve, and he was just kind of almost ready to fall off his chair there. And anyway, we have interviewed him. And the last one, Steve, I think that we did, he said that was one of the best interviews he'd ever given. Do you recall that or not? Or maybe it was just a conversation I had with him.
Well, I would expect anything less.
True. True that.
But he actually, the picture I saw of him looks like he's pretty healthy. Looks like he could go another 20 or 30 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the one. That's
exactly.
That's the guy. I just saw that across some newswire.
Yeah.
I subscribe to all these newsletters and stuff every morning I read to try to keep up on a wide range of things, and I happen to see that. That was it.
And he could recall that day like it was yesterday. And that's what I've also found, though, in interviewing many of these combat veterans, is combat is seared on your heart, it's seared on your mind, and no matter what age, people can remember that like it was yesterday. And so I so thank you for being a sponsor of that show as well. But yes, Major General John Ron, and I feel like I know him, and you're right. He looks like he could go a number more years.
He does, yeah. But I think what we all need to do is we need to take that same degree of determination and courage, you know, in every day when we're facing. I mean, there's a lot of people. OSHA is about ready, or whichever government agency is trying to enact Biden's mandate push for vaccines. Today, like the day is, you know, like the deadline is now coming, and there's OSHA starting to rule out these fines for major corporations. I mean, so there's people that are on the battling on the front line of freedom right now. I know a lot of people who have quit their jobs over it, or said they refused and they put their jobs on the line out of principle. You know, that's a very big thing to do when you're taking care of, you know, your family, and you have a mortgage, and you have obligations. You know, that's not a small feat. So, you know, that's the type of courage we need to take with us every day.
Well, and let's go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about this. And I think this is something that we talked about, is you mentioned that this is going to create a new wave of entrepreneurship in America. So let's talk about that when we come back. That's Hal Van Herke. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, place to do your Christmas shopping. Check out castlegate.com. And another great sponsor of the show is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations. That is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. Great place to get together with friends during the upcoming holiday season, Christmas season. And they have specials, lunch specials Monday through Friday. Kids eat free on Saturdays with the purchase of an adult entree. And just all kinds of specials for football. So check out all my sponsors at KimMunson.com. I highly recommend each and every one of them. We're going to go to break. When we return, we'll talk with Hal Van Herke about entrepreneurship. Stay tuned.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Cruz with 3 Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. 3 Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate these uncharted waters. Check out threepointsfinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's threepointsfinancial.com.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us. We so greatly appreciate that. In studio with me is entrepreneur, owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, and that is Hal Van Herke. And Hal, before we went to break, you mentioned that we've had people that we know standing on principle saying, if you're going to force me, and it may not be that they don't want to take the vaccine, maybe they've already taken the vaccine, but it may be that if you're going to force me to do something on principle, I'm not going to do it, and have really put their livelihoods on the line. I was talking about this with somebody the other day, and that is, you know, we've gone from 2 weeks to flatten the curve to take three jabs or you can't make a living, you can't go anywhere. And if we think because we acquiesce, it's going to get better, it's not going to get better.
Right. Yeah. And, I always try to point out that I'm pro vaccination. I took the Pfizer vaccine. I've already taken the Pfizer booster.
Okay.
I have asthma, so I'm always a little bit worried about that. I'm almost old enough to be in the key target range about some, and I know a number of people myself personally that have passed away because of COVID. So, you know, unlike a lot of your viewers, I fully support vaccination, but I don't support forcing people to be vaccinated. I mean, I can't think of anything more, very few things more obtrusive than forcing you to have to inject something into your own body against your own will. I think that's crazy. And threatening somebody with their livelihood or their income is not really any better than just, you know, than forcing them at that tip of the spear or, you know, at gunpoint to do it. I mean, it's coercion. It's wrong. I can't believe that we're at this point in our society that we believe that it's okay for government to do that in any realm. So I really applaud these people who have stood up against their large, you know, a lot of these large employers don't really want to go along with it either, but they are.
But when it starts to affect their bottom line,
yeah,
I think it's going to change things a little bit.
You know, yeah, and so I think a lot of them are between a rock and a hard place. You know, on one hand, they don't really want to have to implement it. You look at what's going on with Southwest Airlines, right? They're getting beat up financially over it. But they don't have a choice about implementing it if they want to continue to fly because they're regulated by the federal government. So, you know, they're being forced to do it, and that force is being pushed downhill. But at some point, people have to stand up and say no. And I have a lot of respect for those people. I know some people who, you know, found out their company was going to enforce that, and they quit on principle, even though they'd already been vaccinated, or because if they hadn't been, they're like, I'm not going to sit around and wait to be fired. I quit.
Yeah.
You know, and so I do think that there's I think this is going to stimulate a renewed amount of thinking in how you live your life, you know, and do I want to get myself in debt really early on in my career when I'm young and buy all these consumer goods and everything and rack up a lot of debt so I have to go to work for somebody else the rest of my life? Or do I want to live my life differently and leave open the possibility that I want to start my own business, guide my own destiny, be my own person, et cetera? And I think that for a variety of reasons, I think what we're living through right now is going to have a lot of people thinking about maybe they want to have more control over their destiny. And part of that is choosing to, if it's right for you, to own your own business.
And entrepreneurship, I think there's going to be a real resurgence. And I think you're the first person that really moved me away from kind of the fear of, oh my gosh, people losing their jobs and giving up their livelihood to, wait a minute, there's this whole creative side as well. And I think there's going to be a real resurgence of the American spirit of entrepreneurship. But there's going to be a battle. We saw it with this COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption. The government would say, this business is essential, this one isn't. It didn't make sense. So a non-essential business was at risk for people getting COVID if they went there, but the essential wasn't. It's like, wait, yeah. COVID's a real
thing.
There's
a war on small business. And yeah. We've talked about this before. I mean, if you look at the heart of what's a lot of what's going on with the Biden, I almost keep saying the Brandon administration, but the Biden the Biden administration. But, you know, there's a lot of just flat out core Marxism going on in that administration. And part of that is a war on small business and privately owned business, because you have to eliminate private business in order to enact communism and socialism on a major scale. You have to eliminate private capital and private wealth. And so there's a flat out, you know, attack on small business. They're trying to redo the tax code so that you have ranches and farmers that have been farming the same land for 150 years, and now their descendants are going to get hit with a capital gains tax.
I know, we talked about that.
In addition to
the death tax.
In addition to the death tax that there's no way they can pay, so those farms and ranches would get foreclosed on. And who's going to buy that? Major corporations, right? There's not an accident.
This is not an accident.
It's not an accident. And so that's why when we start talking about freedom versus force versus freedom, 1776 spirit, that very frequently we come back to this idea about small business, mm-hmm. and about starting your own business, et cetera, because a functioning, wealthy, and prosperous middle class is a key to democracy and to maintaining a republic.
Well, Vladimir Lenin, we always do these quotes, and sometimes when you go to the bad guys, they'll tell you exactly what they're going to do. And Vladimir Lenin, Russian dictator, said, the key to crushing the middle class is through taxation and inflation. And that's why I took such a stand on lowering taxes, is local level, for sure, is a cent here, a cent there. Pretty soon, how many pennies does government have, and how many pennies do you have? And so the way, really, you can increase government revenue by getting government out of the way. I wish more PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties understood that. So if regulations are low, pull back rules and regulations, taxes are low, that empowers the middle class to go out and create businesses, and that bigger pie actually increases tax revenue.
Increases tax revenue, increases job opportunities, increases the standard of living of workers, because there's more demand for labor, more demand for skilled labor, et cetera. So it's a win-win for everybody. And not to take it way back into the distant past, but that's one of the very first things that Donald Trump did when he was elected, was rolled back a massive amount of regulation that had accrued in the previous administration over 8 years, and just rolled a lot of that back, specifically aimed at small business. Mm-hmm. That didn't get a lot of attention at the time, positive or negative, but it has a huge impact. I mean, we could go into a lot. Any small business owner could sit here and tell you the battles they've had to deal with regulation and compliance. It's crazy how much time I've spent just in the last 2 weeks, either with the building department in my county or with my CPA dealing with the IRS. You know, I've got a situation going on with the IRS right now where we've sent them a packet 3 times, certified mail, certified receipt. They've signed for it and lost it 3 times and still want to fine us for being late on our filing. They're like, yeah, we lost it, but we still don't have it, so we need to fine you. And I'm like, get out of here. Well, you know, but it's like, you've signed this and you just admitted that you had it, but we're like, yeah, we can't find it. Yeah. And like, it's a 60-page document. You can't find that for the third time. And now you're still sending me letters saying, you know, now you're going to start fining me for late fees.
Yeah. Yeah. And under the Brandon administration, as you mentioned, the IRS they are advocating for hiring a whole bunch more IRS agents, which goes back to the Declaration of Independence, where King George sent I don't know if I have my declaration right here, but sending swarms of officers out to the people to eat out their substance, to harass the people and eat out their substance.
I think you said eat out their soul, I think is what you just said, right? That was the idea now anyway. They want to eat your, they're not going to be happy till they're eating your soul. No, yeah, it's crazy if you look at what they're trying to do right now. They're trying to hire 3,000, 6,000, whatever more IRS agents. They're trying to look at every transaction in your bank account above $600. Yeah, it's trying to do everything they can do. Like you said, taxation and inflation. They're trying to do everything they can do to make it impossible to be independent, to accumulate private wealth, to grow your private wealth, to keep your private wealth. And that includes people who worked their entire lives in major corporations and made these businesses work. And that includes whether you're white collar or blue collar or union or otherwise, your pensions are under fire because of inflation. Your 401k is under fire because of inflation. And every time we have a press conference, Biden denies that inflation is an issue. His administration.
It's government-induced inflation.
It's government-induced inflation. It's purposeful inflation. It's like you said, it's that's how you whittle away the power and control. If I make your assets worthless, you've got to go back to work two or three jobs to make a living. You don't have any time to dissent or rebel mm-hmm. or think about how things could be run mm-hmm. differently or mm-hmm. better. You just have to shut up and row, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what they're hoping for.
Well, and you had referenced this initially, as you mentioned, they were talking about banks would have to report. Think about how much that's going to cost a bank. But
it's crazy. Banks already have more employees working on compliance than they do on banking. There's more employees, whether it's the smallest bank in your local town to these large bank corporations, they have more employees working on government compliance and bureaucracy than they do working on banking.
And banking is, again, like these community banks are the lifeblood of mom-and-pop operations out there. But I was going to say something very snarky. And, well, first of all, they said $600, and then they said, oh, no, it'll be for $10,000. But $600, the way they're inflating the cost of energy, that's going to be your Excel bill, and so they have to report that, right?
Or every time you fill up your tank of gas, it's going to get the IRS is going to be seeing what vehicle you put it in. Yeah, I mean, it's insane, you know, on one... It's insane. And none of this talking about, you know, being against the IRS movements that they're trying to make or anything like this is not about, it's not about not paying your taxes. It's, you know, and we all have a right in this country to pay as little tax as we can legally, right? And they have a very complicated tax code. But if you hire a good CPA, good accountant and stuff, you have a right to pay the least amount of tax that you're allowed to by law, right? And that's, but this is more about just making your life miserable on a daily basis.
That's what that's about.
And then you have to, you know, they take your money and then you have to go fight with more of your money in time to get it back. And then you're fighting City Hall. You're fighting, in this case, you're fighting the federal government. And who's going to win? Who's got time to do that? So this is more just about, you know, just making your life miserable. And it's not about making sure that you did your taxes right. It's not about making sure that they catch tax cheats. They've got enough people to do that mm-hmm. right now, especially the major ones, mm-hmm. the big ones. You know, they can go find them. This is about just making your life miserable to the point where you just shut up and do whatever the IRS tells you to do.
Well, and we had Phil Kirpin on earlier this week with American Commitment, and we were talking about this Biden's double death tax. And what he said is that the big corporations, the big businesses have the accountants, they have the attorneys, that they can actually fight this. And again, we're not talking about not paying your taxes. We're talking about the IRS harassing people. Yeah. And but he said that little mom and pop operation, they may get a letter that says you need to pay $1,400 or $2,000. And they sit down, they go, oh my gosh, it would take account, you know, this much more
right.
to hire my accountant
and
my attorney. And so it's like a shakedown. And so it's yeah. like, I'll just pay it.
If you're going to, you know, one of the things we were talking about entrepreneurship and starting your own business and how government, you know, impacts that. This is a perfect example, because if you're going to go into your own small business and if you're going to be in business for any length of time, you're going to have to expect that you're going to start to have a frustrating relationship with the IRS, if not an adversarial relationship with the IRS. You know, some people can skate through their whole business career and never have to run into it, but a lot of people, depending on what industry you're in, like if you're in the construction industry or if you're in the retail industry or the restaurant business where the IRS feels that there's a high amount of tax fraud going on, they're going to be in your face all the time. And I get those kind of letters all the time. Oh, you owe us this, you owe us that. I'm like, how did you come up with that? And now it's to the point where it's just some computer-generated AI sent it out and said, you owe us this. You try to get on the phone with them. They don't understand it. They don't even understand their own tax code. And that's always been the case. Uh-huh. And you know, they said, you can't rely on our tax advice for the tax code. You have to hire your own people. But then you have to fight and say, I don't know this. Sometimes it's just a single phone call saying, I think this was a mistake. And they're like, you're right. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you're sending them a 60-page document, three times certified mail, wow, going back for something that was filed 4 years ago, using your paid attorneys and accountants to say that you don't owe this, and you know, don't even know where this came from, and here's all of our filings, and you've got the wrong paperwork. You crossed the wires inside the IRS somewhere. We don't owe this. And then they lose your paperwork three times in a row, and they still want to charge you. So, you know, yeah, it's expensive. I can't. I want to think about how much money I've spent on it, right, accountants this year again because of the IRS. Mm-hmm. Even though I've never lost a case with them, but I could probably buy a vacation home with the amount of money over the years that I've spent protecting myself from them.
Okay.
Yeah. So you know, this is a direct. It's a direct cause and effect thing. If they increase, you know, it's one of the things you have to work, you know, through. And it's not just that. It's the OSHA. We just talked about OSHA early in this show. It's a very valid organization about keeping people safe in the workplace. But when the government gets out of control and starts using it as a weapon for enforcement of vaccine mandates and things like that, now it's, you know, it's not a good thing
that
anymore.
That was not the purpose that, yeah, it was put in place for.
And so if you're a manufacturer, you live in fear over OSHA, mm-hmm, all the time. If you're a restaurant owner, you live in fear of the county health department all the time. I was in New Mexico last week, and they're wearing masks like crazy everywhere. But once you get inside, the servers and the wait staff and the bartenders are just wearing it around their neck. And I'm like, you guys are more afraid of the governor than you are of the virus. And they're like, yeah, we're scared to death that we're going to get shut down, because their governor in New Mexico was former head of the state health department and very strong Democrat. And she's very big on wearing masks.
On force.
But the minute you get, they're scared to death. If you walk in without your mask on, you'll hear about it from three or four people screaming across the restaurant at you, put your mask on. And as soon as you sit down, then they're not wearing their masks.
Yeah, go figure. Yeah. That is an interesting virus that knows when you're standing up or sitting down. Just very interesting. So, okay, in studio with me is Hal Van Herkey. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Happy birthday, United States Marine Corps, November 10th. And on November 11th, we remember our veterans. Kim Munson with America's Veteran Stories here. Sunday, Marine veteran Rick McFadden shares the history of the Marine Corps, and he'll have you on the edge of your seat as he describes the political and military interactions with the Barbary Pirates. Rick brings to life the daring attack of Stephen Decatur and his men at Tripoli, an attack that British Admiral Lord Nelson said was the most daring act of the age. That's Sunday, 3 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us, and also to these great partners that I get to work with. And one of those is Hal Van Herkey and Linnea Van Herkey. They're the owners of Castlegate Knife and Tool, a great family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And it's always great to have a Hal Van Herkey Friday. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't realize I was going to have a whole name, a day named after me.
A day named after you.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That works out great. And again, Christmas is right around the corner. You have all kinds of inventory. You've made that commitment. Many American-made products, which is also, you know, let's support our American businesses as well. And so you've got great inventory right now.
Yeah. And we don't have a policy that we only carry American goods. We just try to carry American goods whenever we can. But we carry other items that are well-made items from around the world. But I had mentioned earlier in the show that, you know, one of the benefits this year is that if something's made in the U.S., it's not trapped on a container ship off the coast of California.
Right.
You know, you can actually buy it. So keep that in mind.
And put it, wrap it up and put it under the tree instead of an empty box.
Yes, an empty box from Amazon with an IOU.
Okay, I wanted to talk about this, and producer Steve had pulled this. This was from, let's see, Jared Polis, Governor Polis, on Tuesday. Says he all but ruled out issuing a new statewide mask order to curb sharply rising coronavirus infections and hospitalizations. Now, first of all, I find it interesting they've changed that word from cases to infections. Again, I think that's a little sleight of hand there. Steve, what do you think?
Well, I, you know, it's this. You know, I just asked you, do you see what I wrote across the top of the page? That this is Polis virus theater. And he gets himself stoked up. He goes out in front of the media and he huffs and he puffs and makes these ridiculous statements. But you're right, that little change of the verbiage, there's always reason to suspect that they're up to something.
Well, I could figure that one out already.
Okay, Hal.
Yeah, that's the if you have it, if it's a case, that means you're sick. Okay. But if in this, the new language, you're infected, it just means that you came into the hospital for anything and you happen to have the virus in your body, you're infected. Whether you're asymptomatic or you haven't even had that, you know, hasn't ramped up yet, but you're infected.
But so, don't you also think, as they're using this kind of scary theater, virus theater, that the word infection is a scarier word than case.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think for some reason, I'm not quite sure why, I saw the same stuff that you guys were pulling through your research that Polis really jumped up on his soapbox again recently. I guess according to some statistics, I read we're the fifth fastest growing COVID rate in the country for some reason in Colorado again. Maybe
I don't trust the statistics
you have
on
to,
this.
First, you have to trust their statistics. But even if that is true, it's probably because we're having colder weather than some other people, maybe. So people are, you know, this is going to be just like we all said it would going to be. It's going to turn into be the flu and it's going to be seasonal. So maybe we're having a ramp up in infections. But But for some reason, he, you know, is up on his soapbox about it, and some of the things he said weren't very nice, you know.
Well, should we just hear a few of those here? He said the patience of most Coloradans. How can he speak for most Coloradans? Okay. The patience of most Coloradans is wearing very thin about why we should keep wearing masks just to protect the 20% of folks who haven't taken the simple step to protect themselves. Now, wait a minute. If somebody's been vaccinated, then why should they be worrying about somebody else?
Yeah, that's just crazy right off the bat. That's just crazy. I didn't think anybody was, if you're wearing, this whole concept of people that are vaccinated remember, I got vaccinated, but to think that I'm wearing a mask to protect myself from the unvaccinated, no, I'm wearing a mask to protect myself if I do from the virus.
Right.
And I could get that from a vaccinated person.
Right.
Or an unvaccinated person or from a surface or whatever. That's a divide and conquer. Kind of thing.
It is. And it's a subtle way to try to divide us. Then we mentioned this word, the narrative changing from infections, the term case to infections. Again, hospitalizations, I think we could break that word down as well, Steve. You're realizing that just because somebody is in the hospital with COVID doesn't mean that it's a COVID hospitalization. So I think we need to break that down a little bit, Steve.
Well, yesterday we had Greg Lopez with us, and we talked about how half-truths are killing us. This is another one of those half-truths. They'll blurt out at the top of their lungs that Colorado ERs are full of patients, but they don't, you know, they don't go with it and flesh that out a little bit more. It's like, what type of patients? And there's all kinds of things happening in the background and have been happening ever since this, you know, this mess started. There's people in the ERs, all right, but they're not necessarily there for COVID.
Well, and the other thing, and how we were talking about this in our pre-conversation, was that one of the reasons why there may be a lesser number of hospital beds available because people have said, I'm not going to take the forced vaccination, healthcare workers, and so they've quit or they're on leave. And so it's not that there's not enough beds, it's that there's not enough staff. And again, this is government induced.
But based on what Hal said earlier about what is more scary, it's scarier to say that there aren't any beds or aren't enough beds than it is to the staffing is a little bit more nebulous, whereas a bed, that's something very tangible.
Yeah, producer Steve's dead. It didn't dawn on me, but he was like, and you said, connect the dots. I mean, that one of the things that he also said is he's asking for federal help for staffing.
Right.
We never needed staffing before when the spike, the last two times when the spike was a lot worse. Why do we need extra staffing now?
Right.
I didn't think of that till I walked into the studio today and you guys mentioned that to me. That's pretty obvious now that you mention it.
Right.
You know, that maybe that's why we have a shortage. You know, we're playing with big numbers here. So if you have enough people have walked away or are fearing that they've walked away or been removed from their duties because they haven't gotten vaccinated yet or whatever, moved to different departments where they're not touching patients, yeah, you can see where it would add up real fast. But, is, you know, this whole narrative that we're I'm getting fed up with the unvaccinated, majority of Coloradans are getting fed up with the unvaccinated. What happened to the party of science? Aren't they supposed to be the party of science? All the science says you're just as likely to be carrying it as a if you're vaccinated than if you're not.
Right.
This particular type of vaccines doesn't prevent you from carrying it. It prevents you from becoming sick over it. So you can what it does is create a lot more asymptomatic
carriers,
which is.
And he's continuing the game he's been playing all along now, ever since we started the vaccines, is blame the unvaccinated. Everything that unfortunate thing that falls out of the woodwork, it's those darn unvaccinated people.
Well, again,
I don't even get it, because that's just going after such, if it's right versus left, force versus freedom, whatever, maybe I got those backwards. But the now they're just targeting such a small, tiny segment of what they perceive as being the right. But it's not just the right. It's also there's a segment of the left that's about even that hasn't been vaccinated. In fact, in Denver and a lot of Colorado, there's huge populations of Democratic voters that have not been vaccinated. So I don't even get what the end game is on this. Why are you just trying to
divide?
Why does everybody have to get vaccinated? What happened to that herd immunity concept?
Right.
Plus, they keep forgetting about all the people that already had it, and that doesn't count in their statistics. I don't understand the end game. It's just like, I'm just mad because I didn't get my way. I wanted to force everybody to do this, and I'm not going to be happy till it's 100%. It's very weird.
It is. And so people need to have the freedom to be able to say no. People need to have the freedom to be able to say yes. And we really should demand no longer half-truths. We have to make sure that we are getting the truth from Polis, and you can go through this. You can see the half-truths right here. Steve, we're getting out of time. Before we finish up, first of all, do you have a final comment that you'd like to make on this, producer Steve?
Well, my total contempt and disgust that it continues to drag on, but that's not much of a comment, I guess.
Well, it is frustrating, and Hal, we're getting close to the end of the show. It's always great to have you here. I really do appreciate your sponsorship. I do need to mention that it is the change in daylight savings, so it's fall back this weekend. Don't forget. And then also America's Veterans Stories Show. We have Rick McFadden, Marine veteran. We talk about the birthday of the Marines, which is November 10th, and then of course November 11th is Veterans Day. So what's kind of the final thought you want to leave with our listeners today, Hal?
Well, one final thought is I'm very happy to be here. I'm glad that you keep having me on, and I enjoy our conversations. I really like the idea that you guys just came up about drowning in half-truths. They just think that we're all too busy and we're asleep at the wheel. So we have to be aware of those half-truths. So that's probably a good thing to be paying attention to over the next month or so.
Right. And if you have to implement policy or encourage voters with half-truths, then we need to say no to that. We need to be looking further into that. And so that's why we do the show, Searching for Truth and Clarity, by looking at all these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And Hal, greatly appreciate that you sponsor both the shows. And again, Christmas is coming up. How can people get more information about Castlegate Knife and Tool?
Well, we're always at castlegate.com. You can find us there, or we're right in the middle of downtown Sedalia, 5040 Plum Avenue. We're open 10 to 6, 7 days a week. And we've got just about anything you would want and that has an edge on it. So, and knives make very good stocking stuffers and last minute gifts for those hard to please people. So.
Most definitely. And really, a high quality knife, a high quality tool is a great thing to have. So,
a lot of them become heirloom pieces and handed down through generations and stuff. I mean, that's how I got started.
The kids fight over them after you're gone, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I got started in the business. I mean, a lot of sometimes knives take on, you know, a lot of meaning for being handed down from grandpa or from dad or mom or whatever.
There's a lot
of kitchen set and whatever. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Okay. Great. So Castlegate Knife and Tool, always great to have you here.
Thank you.
And our quote for the end of the day is from James Madison. He said, "Knowledge will forever govern ignorance. And a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives." And that's why we do this show, is to help you learn about these issues. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. And God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.